This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. The website has a weekly meditation on it that you can read. You can also write to me and be placed on the email list for those meditations if you would like it emailed to you. You can re-listen to these programs on the website, and there's other information there that you may find useful. If you'd like to leave me prayer requests, my email address is available on the website, or you can write to me. If you'd like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, send me your name and address and I'll send it on to them. That's a free subscription to Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. So if you want those addresses, you will need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out to write them down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going to continue in our journey with Paul on his third missionary journey. We're going to continue with his visit to Ephesus. And as we think of his preaching the gospel at Ephesus, again, I would like to remind my listeners, I'd like to remind each of you that what he preached then, we still preach now. We preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way of salvation. We preach that there's a kingdom coming. We're not in it yet. I know many people look at the church as the kingdom, the physical kingdom on earth. They believe that nations themselves are what are being reached today. But it's not nations that are being reached today. It's people out of every kindred and tongue and nation that are being reached today. And so Paul preached things concerning the kingdom, and we would do that too, because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I do believe that there's a sense in which we enter into the kingdom immediately upon believing. And I believe that it's a spiritual kingdom we enter into, and I think the church represents the spiritual side of the kingdom. But to say that we have a kingdom that the children of Israel were looking for today, a national kingdom, that'll be coming in a coming day when the Lord comes back and the Jews repent and realize that they have crucified their Messiah at the end of what we call the tribulation period. That will happen. There will be a physical kingdom when the Lord reigns for 1,000 years. But right now, the work is in the hearts of individuals. And so we have noted that there were those who believed, and there were those who didn't. There were some that hardened and did not believe, as Paul preached in the synagogue to the Jews. And because they were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, Paul was forced to go outside the synagogue and preach to Gentiles in the school of Tyrannus. Now, as we look at this Thanksgiving Day weekend, I'm sure that many of you are probably still stuffed from Thanksgiving. I know it's the turkey that's supposed to be stuffed, but really it's us that gets stuffed on Thanksgiving. And it is the one holiday of the year that I really enjoy celebrating, because I think it's scriptural to be thankful. I don't know that we should have one day to be thankful, but it's not bad to have one day as a reminder of the of the blessings that God has given us. And I know that really Thanksgiving has its roots in the early pilgrims being thankful for getting through the first winter and being able to harvest a crop and surviving. But they saw their dependence on God and they were thankful that God had brought them through. And we need to be thankful as well. I'm reminded of the scripture verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so you see that if we pray with thanksgiving to the God who saved us, if we pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep us. It'll guard our hearts and minds. We'll be focused on the right thing. And so this is a very good holiday in that it reminds us of our need to be thankful. And even those who are not saved have a lot to be thankful for. But it seems to me that the only people who can truly thank the Lord for what He has done and the blessings He has given are those who believe that there is a God. But believing that there is a God is not enough. That's a start, but it's not enough. It's those who believe that this God loved them so much that He would give His only Son to die for them so that they wouldn't have to be punished for their own sin, but that Christ would be punished for them. And I know that you might sit here and say, well, why should anybody be punished for our sin? Well, God is a righteous God, and He does not look lightly on sin. Sin is an offense. It's disobedience. And so, instead of condemning the sinner for acting disobedient, He has provided a way whereby that disobedience can be punished on another. But there is one act of disobedience that has never been punished on Christ and will never be punished on Christ. And there's one act of disobedience for which we cannot be forgiven, and that's the act of not believing on the Lord Jesus, of rejecting what He has done, not being thankful that there's a God in heaven who provided a righteous way of escape from the judgment that we deserved. And so, as we look at Thanksgiving, we need to not be anxious. If we're saved, the God who saved us is the God who will keep us. We don't want to be anxious. We need to be at peace with God. And the only way I can see to be at peace with God is to just rest in the promise of God that He is not only taking care of our needs for eternity, but He will take care of us in time as well. I often go out and I'm traveling and I see all these people that have hit deers and I haven't hit any yet. And I just keep thinking how the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear Him. And then I look at people who are having financial problems, and while I have financial problems, they've never been the kind of problems that kept me from eating or paying my bills. I have to be careful with the money I have, but I've never had those kind of financial problems, and other people do. And then I'm reminded that the Lord tells us not to be covetous, but to be satisfied with what we have, and He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He's talking about our financial needs. And so, not only did the Lord save me, but He has provided for me, and He has kept me up to this present hour, and He's given me children, four children, that I can be proud of. I can't be proud of everything that they have done, but the Lord isn't proud of everything I've done either. But I have four children that love me, and I'm glad for that. And I have a wife that is faithful to me and that loves me. And so, I have a lot to be thankful for, but the biggest thing I'm thankful for is that I have a Savior in heaven that loves me and who says that He's going to save me to the uttermost. He's going to completely save me. That is, not only have I been delivered presently from the penalty that I deserve because of my sin, but when the Lord comes, I'm going to be delivered out of this scene of sin and shame to be with the Lord and like Him for all eternity. And I just wish I could whet your appetite, if you're not saved, to enjoy the same blessing that I enjoy, so that you can truly be giving praise to the One who deserves that praise, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can pray with thanksgiving and have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guarding your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that was the gospel that Paul presented here. And as Paul presented the gospel, we noted last time that while God was working in a miraculous way in Ephesus, Satan was in a bold way resisting what Paul was doing. And so we come to Acts 19 and verse 13, and we read, "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists," I consider myself an itinerant evangelist, but there apparently were Jewish people who traveled, had no permanent home in a sense. I have a permanent home, so the word itinerant might not be as applicable to me as to these people. But these people were traveling, and they were traveling with a great lie. They were casting out demons, and they were doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. And they were saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And so the evil spirit, he knew more about the gospel than these men did. There were seven sons of Siva, a Jewish chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now my question is, do you understand, if you're playing with what we call the dark side, how dangerous it is? There is a real God in heaven. There is a real Holy Spirit. There are real angels, but there's also a real demonic presence in this world today. We would like to deny it. Demons are real, and we need to make sure that we don't play around with those things which will allow them to enter into our life. I believe people who are dabbling with drugs open themselves up to demonic possession today, and if not demonic possession, demonic oppression at least. And this is all designed to mess up their minds so that they can't really appreciate the truth of the gospel. And so these people thought that they could do this great thing. And whether they were actually casting out demons or whether they were just there as pretenders and as mystics who were pulling the wool over people's eyes, I don't know. But here was a real demon. Whether they intended to cast out real demons or not, I don't know. But here they encounter a real demon. And friend, you don't really want to encounter a real demon. I can tell you from experience that when I preached the gospel, I have seen people who were oppressed, if not possessed, by demons. And I have seen them trust the Savior, and I've seen them change immediately. When they were able to trust the Savior, it was as though this demon left them, and they were clothed and in their right mind, just as it says about the demoniac who had a legion of demons in him and was held by chains before the Lord cast those demons out. Demon possession is not something we talk about today. Don't mess around with it. Turn to the Lord, the one who wants to possess you for himself and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be within you, and don't put yourself in a position, either through drugs or lies or friends, to be indwelt or oppressed or by these demons. When you start taking drugs and start going down that road, the end result for many people is suicide, because the demon is never there for your good. He may appear to be giving you euphoria. He may appear to be giving you a better, an enlightening experience, but ultimately, a demon wants to captivate you and take you down to hell with him. And so, friend, you need to be delivered from these things, just as they needed to be delivered from these things, and we need to trust in the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone and be saved. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for those who have listened. We thank Thee for Thy love, and we just thank Thee for this opportunity to speak about the Lord Jesus and to be thankful during this Thanksgiving season. We thank Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.